What's up, guys? We're back again. Another episode of Philly Sports Deep Dive. I apologize for this long break. It's been tough trying to allot the time to get another episode out, but this means we do have a lot to talk about. Now, on this episode, I'm only going to cover the Eagles and the Phillies. The Sixers, I'll be posting a season recap separate episode sometime in the near future. I'll do this with my two other main teams that I cover, the Eagles and the Phillies, when their seasons end. And I'll basically just recap the season, see what went wrong, and ultimately give the season a final grade. But let's get right into it. So I'm going to start with the Eagles. The draft happened, and I liked the Eagles' draft. Getting to right away, they made a lot of trades during the draft, basically just stockpiling picks, and I like that from Howie Roseman, especially in those later rounds. You never know who you're going to get. Stockpile picks for the future, and you can use them as more trade material at some other point. But what I'm going to do with the draft, I'm going to look at three of the picks that I liked. I'm going to give them some grades. I'm not going to go through every single one of them because I don't think that it's really meaningful to just go through every single one, every single pick, when I don't really know as much about some of these players, and you can find grades anywhere else. I'm going to give my thoughts on what I thought were the Eagles' three best picks. So, the first pick I'm going to talk about is the obvious one, number 22 overall in the first round. They picked Quinyon Mitchell, the cornerback out of Toledo, and I'm giving this one an A. I really give a lot of credit here to Howie Roseman for being patient on this one. Nobody thought that the best corner in the draft class was going to fall to the Eagles at number 22, but Howie Roseman did not jump the gun. He stayed put. He saved his picks for later, and he was able to get the best corner in the draft class at a good value pick at number 22 without having to give up much. So I really like that pick. I do think he was the best corner in the draft class. And he could be a starter. I don't know what's going to happen with Bradbury or not, but I really do think this Eagles secondary is much improved this offseason. In the second round, they traded up to get Cooper DeJean, a defensive back out of Iowa. And I give this one a B+. Still, although you did have to give up draft capital to get him, he's another corner that was given first round grades by a lot of draft experts. He's really good at Iowa, who is known for their defense. And getting another guy who could potentially be starting caliber in the near future in Cooper DeJean, that's a good value pick. I mean, that's somebody the Eagles could have had to settle for in round one, but instead they were able to get him at 40th overall in round two. And again, like I said before, the secondary is much improved from last year. We'll see what happens with Bradbury, but even if something happens with Slay, you have DeJean and you have Quinyon Mitchell, and then you have guys like CJ, GJ at safety, so the secondary is actually looking pretty good. And then the other one that I'm going to talk about is in the fourth round, number 127 overall, the Eagles picked Will Shipley, a running back from Clemson. And I'm giving this one an A. They got Saquon Barkley, and obviously he's going to be their starting running back. He's going to be their three-down running back. He's going to get the bulk load. But on the other hand, Barkley does, unfortunately, have a bit of an injury history, and you can't just give him the ball every single time you want to run it. Will Shipley, I thought he was a really good player in college. He's very versatile, too. He could catch passes out of the backfield, and he's a guy who I really like at that value in the fifth round, because I do think that Kenny Gainwell, unfortunately, is not really up to par. He's not that kind of level of running back where you feel comfortable giving him the ball on a consistent basis. Will Shipley, I do think, can develop into a quality running back in this league. So I really like that pick. I'm giving that an A. But the Eagles, I mean, they're looking pretty good. A lot of optimism for me. Their schedule came out. we did already know who they were going to play. I went over that in the last episode, and I mean, they do have a tough stretch during the season, but I do think it's manageable. They start off Packers week one in Brazil. I think that's a win. Then they go Falcons, Saints, Bucks. I think all three of those are wins. I think they're going to go down to Tampa, and they're going to blow out the Bucks, get a little revenge. Browns, Giants. Then they have Bengals, Jaguars, Cowboys, Commanders, Rams, Ravens, Panthers, Steelers, Commanders, Cowboys, Giants. So, that schedule's not that bad, especially a team with as much potential and expectation as them. They really don't even play that many teams that are really Super Bowl contenders. You've got the Bengals, you've got the Cowboys twice, and you've got the Ravens. And then you've got also the Steelers and the Rams, who were playoff teams last year, and the Bucks. But overall, I like the schedule for the Eagles. It's definitely manageable. I think, realistically, we're probably thinking 11 to 12 wins out of them. But if Jalen Hurts is able to bounce back and the defense is able to just bounce back a little bit, you could be looking at 12, 13 wins for this team. I do think they're a legitimate Super Bowl contender. So now, let's move on to the Phillies, and we've got a lot to talk about with them. Right now, the Phillies have the best record in baseball, 34-14, 7.08 winning percentage, second best run differential at plus 80, and they're first in runs scored with 256. I really don't have many complaints about this team. Right now, this season so far, they've been the clear-cut best team in baseball. The one gripe that many people have is that they haven't played anybody. But a lot of people say it, and I'll say it, you can only play who's in front of you. And the Phillies, they don't really have a choice. And they've been taking care of business against all these bad teams. You've got sweeps against the Giants. You've got the sweep against the Nationals that they just have. Not a sweep, but they took 3 out of 4 against the Mets. I mean, these teams aren't even that bad. I mean, they're not good. They're probably not going to make the playoffs, but you're taking care of business. The starting pitching's been fantastic. And, I mean, the Phillies are just looking real good. I want to take a closer look at their starting pitching. Right now, I'll go over the stats leaders. The leader in wins and ERA is Ranger Suarez with 8 and 137, respectively. He's been fantastic for them this year. I mean, a Cy Young contender at this point in the season. And obviously, we'll see how it shakes up because we are not very far into it, but Ranger Suarez has been one of the best pitchers in baseball. If not for the emergence of Shohei Imanaga from the Cubs, he would probably be the clear-cut Cy Young favorite as of right now. Another Cy Young contender is the Phillies' leader in strikeouts. He's third in the league with 71, Zach Wheeler. He's been good this year. He had a rough start against the Marlins, but bounced back very nicely against the Nationals, going 7.1. getting another win, and he's got a 2.52 ERA, and he's also ninth in whip. So Zach Wheeler's also having another Zach Wheeler-esque season. What I really like to see is Aaron Nola bouncing back. He's 6-2 with a 3.05 ERA and 60 Ks with a 1.05 whip. I mean, that's good, especially considering when you look at his ERA last year, it was 4.46. Which is just an incredibly inflated number for a guy like Aaron, who's just been very consistent throughout his career. The only time he qualified for the ERA title and had a higher ERA was 2021, when he had 4.63. But he signed the contract, and he's been good this year. He had that complete game against the Mets. That was fantastic. He was firing on all cylinders that day. He was locating his pitches. He had good command. And I'm very pleased with what I've seen from Aaron Nola this year. And the last starting pitcher that at least has pitched a qualifying amount of innings is Christopher Sanchez. He's 2-3, 3.31 ERA, 47 strikeouts, 1.45 whip. And, I mean, this is basically what I expected to see out of Sanchez. I don't expect the ERA to be 3.31 at the end of the season. I expect it to be more towards the 3.90s, 4 range because he's just pretty inexperienced, but I've always liked Christopher Sanchez. I really like that changeup that he has. I mean, of all the starting pitchers this year. He's probably been the most up and down. He's had some games where he's just not very good, but then he's also had games where he shuts down the other team, and he's been basically what I've expected out of him. He's eaten innings, which is always good, especially out of a guy like him where he didn't expect to give you that many innings. But as of recently, his last three starts, he pitched 7 innings, 2 out of his last 3 starts, and 5.2 in the other one. I've liked Sanchez. I've always liked Sanchez, and I think he's going to be a key part of the rotation. And the last starting pitcher, Taijuan Walker, and obviously, like many people, I was a little bit bummed to see Spencer Turnbull come out of the rotation with the season that he was having, but he's cooled off, and Walker's been pretty fine. His ERA looks a little bit inflated, 4.91, but that's really because of that first start, they pushed him too long, and his last start where he got injured and had to leave the game early. From what sources are saying, he's going to be able to pitch in his next start, or at least in the coming weeks or so. It's not going to be a long-term injury. He's not going to be out for very long. So that is, I guess, fortunate because he's pitched pretty well other than those two starts. I mean, against Miami, he went 6 innings and only allowed 1 run. I mean, that's pretty good. He's got a 3-0 record, and he actually did lead the team in wins last year. But he's been good. The only part of the pitching rotation that seems to be up in the air is that bullpen. Right now, their saves leader is Alvarado's got 8 saves and a 3.72 ERA. I'm not worried about him. He's been very good ever since that disastrous first appearance against the Braves. I trust Alvarado. I do think he's a good closer. I do think he's pretty clutch. He comes up big, and I just love him as a player. He's just seems like a really cool guy. Really became popular with the fan base after all the necklaces last year. But Alvarado, I think, is the clear-cut closer. I don't think he has to be a guy where every time the game's close in the ninth inning, you have to put him in, because I do think there are other guys you can go to if need be. But Alvarado's been good this year. And you got a couple guys who have sub-1 ERAs. Jeff Hoffman, he's got 3 saves, a 0.9 ERA, and 27 strikeouts. I mean, that's pretty fantastic. Hoffman's been reliable this year, and basically what we expected after the fantastic out-of-nowhere season we saw from him a year prior. They've also got Matt Strom, who's got a 0.95 ERA. I mean, he's been very good, too, despite having a pretty bad first start where he allowed 2 runs in a third of an inning. But since then, he has not allowed a single earned run. He's been one of their go-to guys, I'd say. One of the guys they go to after their starters finished. He's a guy like Turnbull, who I can see them putting him in after maybe a not-so-great start from one of their starting pitchers where they only go 4 or 5 innings, and stretching him out into like 2 innings to kind of save that bullpen. Sir Anthony, I've been pretty encouraged of what I've seen from him as of late. Obviously his season has not been very good, and he's been on a downward spiral ever since I think that injury he had towards the end of 2022. But as of late, he's looked a lot better. I still don't trust him, and I still would rather just put him in situations that aren't as high leverage to kind of get him back into the swing of things. Gregory Soto's another guy where I'm kind of in the same boat as with Sir Anthony, because I don't really trust him. Again, he's also looked better. He had actually a really nice game against the Nationals when they won in extra innings, where I believe he was the one who went in the 10th inning and pitched a scoreless 10th, inheriting that runner on second base. That's encouraging to see out of a guy who's struggled in basically his whole tenure with the Phillies. And then other than that, we've got Orion Kerkering, who's been fantastic. He was injured to start the year, but he's off to a great start. He's got a 1.98 ERA. 13 appearances with 13 strikeouts to go with that. I think he's a guy who could end up being maybe a high leverage reliever for them. He's got stuff. I mean, that sweeper of his is really, really good. It's got great movement to it. I think Orion Kerkering is a guy who could end up being big for them. And I guess the only other guy to talk about is Spencer Turnbull, who's definitely cooled off as a reliever. It hasn't been quite as sharp, but I do like him as kind of that role that I mentioned Matt Strom with earlier, for him just kind of being able to basically be a stretch starter when they don't have a good game. So Turnbull, obviously a great offseason addition. Now let's look at the hitting, because the hitting's just been on fire. I mean, Nick Castellanos leads the team in at-bats. He has not been good. Johan Rojas has been ho-hum. He's been whatever. He's definitely been a lot better in this second half of the season so far, but still not great offensively, not really hitting the ball too hard. But other than that, everybody's on fire. Alec Boehm, he's hitting .330, which is 8th in the league, 5 home runs, and he's first in RBIs with 42. I mean, he's probably going to make the All-Star team this year. I mean, scorching start for Alec Boehm. Whenever there's a guy in scoring position, the one guy you want up to the plate is Alec Boehm, because he's just been that guy this year. Even when he's not getting base hits, he's hitting it to the outfield. In the last game against the Nats, he had the 3-run home run, but he also had 2 sac flies to right field that scored runners from third. I mean, Alec Boehm's just been a great situational hitter this year, no doubt about it. The other guy that right now I want when I've got runners in scoring position, Bryson Stott, got off to a painfully slow start to the season, just was not hitting at all, and we thought maybe the pitchers had figured it out, but now he's hitting .279, 5 home runs, and 29 RBIs, and in the month of May, he's hitting .383 with 2 home runs and 15 RBIs. His home runs have been in big spots. This month, he's had the one against Edwin Diaz in the 9th inning that sparked the rally. And then he had one in the extra innings Nationals game that tied it up. And Bryson Stott has really been a lot better as of late. He also leads the team in on-base percentage now, so he's also walking too. The team leader in home runs this year is not Kyle Schwarber, but it's Bryce Harper, hitting .273, 10 home runs, 35 RBIs, .890 OPS. That is a very good season for Harper, because the past 2 seasons, at least in the regular season, his power's been a little bit down, he's been a little bit injured. He's also to a very nice start this year. After starting out a bit slow, he looks obviously very good at first base, and he's just mashing the ball right now. He's hitting it hard. He's just getting base hits. He's also hitting with runners in scoring position. He's just been very, very good this year. Kind of what we expected. He's an MVP contender once again, as he typically is when he's healthy. Bryce Harper having a great season. On the other hand, Kyle Schwarber, I'm not loving his season so far. He's got 9 home runs, hitting .214, 28 RBIs. He's been fine. I don't think he's yet to hit his hot streak, but June is on the horizon, and there's no doubt in me that Kyle Schwarber is going to catch fire in June once again, as he always does. So I'm not worried about him. JT Realmuto, he's been replacing Trey Turner in that 2 hole ever since Turner got hurt, and he's hitting .275, 5 home runs, 16 RBIs. He's been good this year. I've liked what I've saw from JT. He's filling in that 2 hole very nicely, and I got nothing to complain about with JT. He's been good behind the plate. Did have that little scare with the injury, but it doesn't seem to be bothering him too much now. So JT's been good. And speaking of Trey Turner, right now hitting .343, 2 home runs, 9 RBIs. Obviously, not the most accurate statistics, I guess, because he's been injured the past couple weeks. I don't want to rush Trey Turner back. the team is hitting well enough that they can make up for his absence. Their bench players are good enough to do that. But Trey Turner, when he comes back, I do think he'll hit his stride in terms of power and knocking home runs. But nothing to complain about with Trey Turner. Just take his time. We don't want to rush him back and get him re-injured, because he is a guy who, part of the reason that makes him so good is his ability on the base paths. So, don't rush Trey Turner back, but he's been very good when he's been on the field. The only other starter I've yet to cover is Brandon Marsh, hitting .246, 6 home runs, 23 RBIs. Definitely cooled off a lot, but still looking good defensively. Still pretty good at the plate. And of the three regularly starting outfielders for the Phillies, Brandon Marsh has been the best one by far, especially on offense. And now, I'm going to talk about Cody Clemens. He's hitting .321 with 3 home runs, 10 RBIs. And he had the clutch game-tying home run in the 9th inning against the Nationals. I mean, he's been fantastic this year. He started off the year in the minors, and the only reason that he's in the majors is because of Trey Turner's injury. And somehow he's still been fantastic. You can play him anywhere. He's been playing mainly first and second base. He hasn't even played that much first this year. That's where he's played most of last year. He's played a little third base. But he can go wherever. He can slot in wherever. And he's just been really, really good. He's getting doubles. He's knocking home runs. He's scoring. And he's hitting home runs too. He's been very good. Then Edmundo Sosa, who's kind of been overshadowed by Cody Clemens these past few games, but he's been good as that backup shortstop filling in for Trey Turner. So, what do I expect from the Phillies this year? My preseason prediction for wins was 95. They had 90 last year. I predicted 95. And right now they're 34-14, 20 games over .500. Last year, they didn't get to 20 games over .500 until September. They didn't even stay 20 games over .500. They finished 18 games over .500. So, my prediction now, it's not really a prediction, but more of a goal that the Phillies should shoot for with all the success that they're having. 100 wins. At the pace they're going at, they'll kill that mark. But obviously, I don't think they'll keep up this pace for the whole year. The way they've been hitting, it's just impossible. But 100 wins is what they can shoot for. I do think it's manageable. I mean, this pitching, the starting rotation, they go deep in the games, they're really good, and none of them really have that much of an injury history. And their offense, obviously the best offense in baseball in terms of runs scored. I mean, this Phillies team really has the potential to make a deep, deep run in the playoffs. Right now, they're one of the prime World Series favorites right now. It's incredible what the Phillies have been able to do. I don't have many complaints. The only little gripe I have is that the production from the outfield has been subpar, especially because of center field and Nick Castellanos not really putting up the numbers that you would want. I've heard people saying that the Phillies should make a trade, and I wouldn't hate that idea. Maybe getting a better offensive outfielder, maybe for Nick Castellanos, if you're trying to get a big name. But me personally, I would not make a huge trade like that, because I don't want to have to give up assets from, for example, the bullpen or the bench. The bullpen I don't want to give up assets from, because we're pretty thin there. We've got some injuries, and we don't have that much depth there. And I don't want to give up our bench players, because I just think in a long season like this, having good bench players that you can turn to whenever your starters need a rest day is just really, really good for a baseball team. So I would not make a huge trade. A trade that I would make is maybe grabbing another reliever, because like I just said before, the bullpen is pretty thin. But the Phillies, I mean, no real legitimate complaints. The things I just said are not holding them back at all, obviously, by the best record in the major leagues. The Phillies, just incredible this year. Nothing bad to say about the Phillies. I'm so excited to see what they're able to do. And if they can somehow win that division from the Braves, that just means more home playoff games at Citizens Bank Park. And we know that home playoff games at Citizens Bank Park are electric. So I really look forward to seeing this team at full strength when you got Trey Turner back and maybe Nick Castellanos hitting better. The Phillies have just been fantastic this year. Nothing bad to say about them. Go Phils, and I just can't wait to watch these games. So that's going to do it for today on Philly Sports Deep Dive. I hope you enjoyed the episode. And make sure to stay tuned for my Sixers season recap, which I will hopefully be posting soon, where I will go over the Sixers season, give it a grade, and all that. So thanks for watching, and I'll see you next time on Philly Sports Deep Dive.